Captain's Log, Episode 87. This week's episode of the Beer Avengers podcast is sponsored by the Beer and Cheese Collective, located at 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard in Astoria, Queens. Enjoy their eclectic array of craft beer, artisanal cheeses, and specialty grocery items at the Beer and Cheese Collective. Home bar to yours truly, Captain Porter Brown Stout. On a personal note, I want to thank everyone for the outpouring of support following the loss of my father, Glenn Stoops, known to podcast listeners as Father Brown Stout. Though the following episode references an upcoming trip to his home in Dayton, Ohio, it was recorded prior to his untimely passing. Remember to like, star, and subscribe whenever that feels appropriate. And send us your emails at thebeervengers@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions, or if you just like hearing us talk about you on the show. And now, without further ado, please enjoy episode 87, The One with the Boilermakers.
We're the Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. We're the Beer Avengers. We're the Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. We're the Beer Avengers.
Welcome to the Beercast, everyone. Coming to you from an undisclosed location in Astoria, Queens. Location? Did I say location?
Location.
This is Captain Porter Brown Stout.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in the Central Valley of California, this is the Pale Male Hophead Huck.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in the County of Kings, hey, it's me, the Beer Wonder.
And we are...
That was that was like a Gregorian monk.
I thought it that is. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we have taken this to a whole new level, and I am so proud of us.
No doubt.
We didn't always talk about the time we record these things, but it's 10:30 at night. So here it's 7:30 on the West Coast.
Correct. We're feeling real good. We're feeling real good.
But yeah, this is if I start out the episode by mispronouncing the word location, I don't know what we're up for in the next hour or so.
It's George St. Googlin.
Well, I mean, on two episodes ago when I had a 13% and a 14% back-to-back, by the end of the episode, I said, you'd said something, Huck, and I said, I think that sounds like a great end to note it on.
I heard that because I wasn't there for that.
Yeah. We got ourselves in all kinds of trouble without you.
Well, that's why I know that's I'm what is it? The Belgian babe refers to me as the border collie. Just kind of herding us all together in the right direction.
Yes. That's right. Welcome to the Beercast, all you beer vengers out there. Yeah, we're just three of us again. Had a great episode last time with the mad toucan, aka
the super chiller.
See, that is such a badass name. Like, that is a badass superhero name. I'm very proud of him for coming up with that.
Yeah, me too. I think it's ideal. We're gonna have all sorts of good things to talk about. But first, I think we have to get to the pours, right?
Yeah, very we really important. Should. Yeah. We really
I'm,
should.
I'm very thirsty.
Well, then why don't you go first?
Yeah, there you go.
Really? Oh, yeah. How polite. Well, here's the thing. I'm repping the County of Kings today a little bit. Okay.
All right. Oh, cool.
In a few different ways. So first off, this is a classic. Okay. And you know, but I wanted to represent for Brooklyn Brewery's classic Brooklyn Lager, Amber Lager, because right now they're doing it as a tall boy, and specifically they're doing it to honor Biggie, also known as Notorious B.I.G., because this is, you know, the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And so they have put out this beer, and you can see it's got a special can. He's got his autograph on it. It's got his picture on it too. So I thought it was good to represent for that. Because you know, Bed-Stuy, it says bold, goat, iconic, and I think that those are also correct words to describe the Amber Lager coming from our friends at Brooklyn Breweries. Absolutely. So I'm happy to be continuing quality control. So let's check that out. So let's take a little pour here.
There it is.
We've all had this beer.
Oh, yeah. That used to be a real go-to for me.
Mm-hmm. Mine was Brooklyn Brown.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That may have been one of the very first craft beers I had in New York.
Yeah, that's pretty early. So there we go. I'll put it with the iconic one up.
Excellent.
So we got that there. Yeah, it's a good one. And then continuing the Kings County trend here.
I have
a 45%er.
Okay.
So prepare yourselves. This is from our friends at Kings County Distillery, straight bourbon whiskey, 45% by volume, 200 milliliter, in their iconic glass bottle.
Oh, wow.
It's got the curved back. It's got the little tin top here. This is, of course, they're within walking distance of my undisclosed location. So I know these guys well. I have a little glass here that I can pour it into so we can.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
You hold it up that close to the camera. It looks like a big glass.
I know. It's not that big. I'm only going to half fill. We're not going to go crazy. Okay.
This is a second
pours show. So, you know.
Well, now I know you're the arbiter, the border collie, what have you, but
yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that since Huck went last time, he should go next.
Does seem reasonable.
The Beer Wonder is representing the Brooklyn. I'm going to go ahead and represent the whole of Europe today.
Oh, all of Europe.
All of Europe. I've got a Trümmer Pils here. Now, Trümmer Pils is an Austrian brewery. And also, this is I think you got the Chimney, what do they call it? Chimney Stout?
Tall Boys?
Yeah, Tall Boy is traditional. Oh, yeah.
This is like 19.2?
Yeah, like a 19-er, yeah. So this is Trümmer Pils. Now, it's a Viennese or Austrian brewery, but they've been brewing in Berkeley, California since 2004. So it is a Berkeley, California beer, but also classic German style.
And drinking it out of an appropriate glass as well.
Nice style here.
Yeah. Still clear. Clear and crispy.
Let's go about right there. Yeah.
That looks pretty good. Yeah. That's beautiful. And that was a beautiful pour. You got a good head retention on that one. Perfect in that glass. Looking absolutely iconic.
And the chiller last week was talking about Ireland. And so I got a little bit of Jameson here.
Oh, look at that.
From
look at
my that local, little thing. Local spot.
Yeah,
it's a little airplane sized.
I know, but that's glass. All. That's sometimes all you need. Oh, look at that!
Oh, there
it's
we
got
go.
That like in lovely caramel color.
Shout
in your
out under St. Mark's. Mark's.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Frigid Festival Horse Trade.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Well, I'm bringing back a little bit local here, but I also have a lager, black lager, from our friends at Catskill. Catskill Brewery.
Yeah,
you can see that iconic raccoon on there.
Yeah, you can.
This is this is their Nightshine.
Fun. Oh,
that's a
so
good
much
beer.
Fun.
That's a good
and also in honor of our last guest, I got a nice Guinness pint glass here to put it in.
Oh, perfect.
It doesn't have a toucan, but it has an ostrich there. So let's check that out.
It's also a bird. Oh, yeah. Looking good. Wow, that is a very dark black lager.
Yes, mm-hmm. And a very healthy head too.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. And speaking of the 19.2, this is like a full like imperial pint glass.
Nice.
So let's take another look at that here. And
you got a raccoon next to an ostrich. There's a lot of animals happening.
Yeah,
there sure are. My next thing, because I don't want to be outdone by you guys, because since you brought this extra thing, I actually brought some local spirits along as well.
Oh, okay.
This is from Great Jones in downtown Manhattan.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is their. Great Jones straight bourbon whiskey, and it is a 43%. I'm not trying to outdo you, the Beer Wonder, but there we have it.
Well, you didn't outdo me.
I thought you said it was 42.
Mine says 45.
Oh, 45. Yeah. Oh, so all right.
Jameson's is 40.
All right. So we're all in
Brooklyn
Richard,
for
so,
the win. Brooklyn
well,
for
but
the win.
But I do have a pretty big shot glass here from the Turning Stone Casino. So
well, it's not about the size of your glass; it's about how you pour it.
Right, and how you
and
drink
that
it.
And that is a beautiful. That's true, yeah. But that was a beautiful pour.
So I guess we should do this.
How you
too.
Drink it is now the.
Now that's the real question here.
That's the real question, because if you haven't figured out by now, you know, we're talking to our bartender friend last episode. We were talking about Boilermakers,
yeah.
And so we decided that we were going to do a Boilermaker episode. So been doing some research on this, trying to figure out the best way to do it. And I think we all came up with our own unique ways of a Boilermaker. And if you think it's not a Boilermaker, well, you can write to us and tell us.
We're going to do it three different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they want to write to us, where should they write to us? Let's just give them the information they need right now so that they're ready for the angry whatevers they're going to send us or thrilled whatevers.
You know, you can find the stuff on all the socials at the beervengers@gmail.com. However you want, slip into our slide into the DMs there.
Slip and slide into the DMs. There you duet go. Duet us on the TikToks. There yep. we go.
All right. So are we going to explain how we're each doing these fours?
Sounds good. Captain, why don't you start?
All right. Well, I'm going to start by one of the things that I read is that you're not supposed to.
Though, right?
Yeah, we're going to do it all together. We're explaining our process first.
The one I like the best of what I read is shoot this and then lovingly sip your beer. Because you got that nice little jolt from the whiskey, and then you can just sort of enjoy the beer otherwise. Huck's shaking his head. Yeah.
Yeah, Huck is
writing a letter already.
Yeah. Okay, right. Huck, tell us what you're going to do.
Well, I'm going to do the traditional drop it in car bomb style.
All right.
Yeah,
and then shoot it.
Well, yeah, okay, and that ended poorly for me the last time I tried any of that nonsense where you drop something and then shoot your beer cocktail.
So I don't want to chip any glass. That's why I got the strong glass.
I know. Yeah, it's just smart, right? It's smart. So I'm just gonna pour it right in and make a legit beer cocktail, and then just sip my way through all of it. And for the record, I'm also doing what would be considered an 8-ounce pour of the beer, which from what I've read is somewhat traditional when you're doing a Boilermaker.
I think I'm going a little bit more. This might be
You're close, but you're not supposed to put a full. You're not supposed to put it in a full pint. Is what I was reading. Yep.
So we're all breaking tradition in our.
I know.
We're creating a tradition.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm taking my headphones off for this.
Okay. All right.
Oh boy, here we go. All right, and we'll do the count. 1, 2, 3. We should just narrate for the folks at home. Huck has actually fully chugged the entire thing. How are you doing there, Huck? Are you okay? Are you going to be okay? Yeah, we're getting a thumbs up. Huck has survived this experience and lived to tell the tale for another day.
That's really interesting.
So that's why you only poured half the beer in there. Yeah,
I did not taste the whiskey at all. So,
oh, that's wild.
Yeah,
I definitely
see
did.
Why people do that.
This is a really nice, smooth whiskey. Sometimes when you take a shot, you're only taking a shot because it doesn't taste that great, and you kind of grimace afterwards. But this Great Jones bourbon is really fantastic.
Yeah, and I will say the burn that I'm getting off of this with the sort of actual like beer cocktails thing, it definitely has that nice amber taste that we're used to from our Brooklyn lagers. But there is a mild burn at the end of it, which is definitely the whiskey doing its thing. It's really nice.
Wait, I'm the only one who shot it back? Oh, you shot the shot back.
Well, I shot the shot back, yeah.
And I'm being classy and sipping the thing.
We are definitely going to get letters.
Oh, I know. And look, honestly, I'll take the engagement because that,
I know,
that
we need the letters.
That feeds the algorithm. So send away.
All right.
So, Captain, why are we doing Boilermakers?
Yeah, why would you?
Why are we doing this?
A while ago, I mean, this was like, you know, it's funny. We come up with an idea and then finally just has to be one of us said, hey, we talked about this idea we were going to do, so let's do it. You might have regular listeners out there.
That happened with the podcast.
Regular listeners there know that a while back I was noticing that a lot of bars and even some breweries, the ones that have a full liquor license, would always have these beer in a shot specials. And I feel like I hadn't seen as much. Usually I do it with something pretty cheap. Like PBR or Narragansett, and they'll have like beer in a shot, $10, something like that. But when I was doing some research on it, I thought it would be fun to sort of do a little tribute to that. This thing that's happening in a lot of bars, we should do an episode of the show like that. But and the more I was looking at it, the more it didn't really have to be cheap beer, but it generally speaking, it's a relatively light beer. Because you know the whiskey is doing most of the heavy lifting as far as intoxication,
yeah.
And then you can just relax and enjoy your beer. I mean, unless you're doing the whole car bomb thing like Huck did, but I think he probably still had some beer left in that 19.2-ounce can. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there's still. But, yeah, Huck's got something to sip on.
But the idea that like you know you get the buzz right away and then you just sort of can leisurely enjoy your beer. And so that's what we're doing. And there's not a whole, like, not a lot of rocket science to the whole thing. I just thought, like, that would be fun to do. And now here we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better time to do it than our late night beer ventures.
Yeah. Second pour show. We love a second pour show.
That's right.
Yeah. I gotta say, the Brooklyn Lager continues to be just a really solid beer. Like a really good amber. It's been a minute since I've had one because, you know, we're all expanding our palates and stuff. But, like, damn, I know why everybody loves this beer. And I know why it has, like, been the sort of standard baker for Brooklyn for so many years. So,
yeah, it's true. I find that there are a lot of, like, craft breweries that, like, you have to go to the source to get something that's actually good and unique. And the thing that gets mass produced isn't as good. And I don't find that's the case with Brooklyn Lager.
Yeah.
It's not like what's that terrible Goose Island IPA?
The Honker?
Yeah, or it's I don't think it's called the Honker. It has like a three-digit name, like 903. Oh,
312. Yeah, the 312.
312. Yeah,
that's a wheat ale.
That's a wheat ale. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's also not my favorite of theirs. But the Honker IPA is this very intense IPA, and once Goose got bought by AB InBev, it became like hops in your face, like Super Chiller was talking about last week with the Montauk, like intense West Coast. It's like that on steroids, and it wasn't like that when I remember having that one in Chicago.
Right.
So, you know.
But fortunately, AB InBev still lets them, you know, do some fun stuff with stuff like Bourbon County. But the mass-produced one, but the Brooklyn, like, I feel like Brooklyn Lager is one of those beers where if I'm at a place that doesn't have anything that's exciting to me, I know the Brooklyn Lager. Or Huck had this one a while back, Sam Adams. Those are two, like the Boston Lager, the Brooklyn Lager. Those are ones that are pretty reliable.
Yeah,
it's only a little bit left here, so I'm just going to pour it into the beer.
All right,
little airplane sort of bottle.
Sort of a combination of your approach and Beer Wonder's approach.
Yep.
Are you tasting the whiskey in your Brooklyn Lager?
Yes. So it's almost like I have a floater, is really what it feels like, because the whiskey is sort of very present for it. But the beer itself, I can still taste the Brooklyn Lager in there, and it's really I mean, it's that thing where I'm like, oh yeah, this is a, and the whiskey is very nice. I mean, I've had plenty of cocktails at Kings County. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, someone you're connected to was hosting like a trivia night for, I believe the Mother of Flagons was hosting a trivia night all about, I forget what it was, but at Kings
County.
Game of Thrones trivia. That night. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that was at Kings County, which is near me. And
of course. Yeah.
And
of
they distill on site. They have a beautiful backyard. They make really interesting, really well done cocktails. Like, their cocktails are just fine. They're good sippers. You can't really shoot them back. And what I also love about them is that everything is very small batch. It's aged for 3 years. It's 80% corn and 20% UK malt. So it's like New York, UK. And they do hand number every bottle. So this is number 164.
I imagine that'd be nice to just sip on its own.
It's a well-done bourbon. Like, it's a really beautiful bourbon. And you can taste it. And in conjunction with the Brooklyn Lager, it's actually a really lovely combination. This is really kind of, everything is a little bit grainy, everything's a little bit sweet and rich, and there's like a molasses character to all of it. It's really nice.
I generally don't mess with hard alcohol at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do cocktails. I just drink beer and wine. But I don't know, this dropping it in the beer thing is like, I didn't taste it. I mean, maybe I'll start doing that.
So do you appreciate, are you feeling the efficiency?
Maybe I'm gonna start doing it.
Well, Huck, but are you feeling the efficiency with which one would, as the captain described it, want to go after something like this, even if you were having like a Natty Light or something?
Oh, well, I don't understand the question. So maybe it is working.
So probably, yes.
I mean, I generally feel like the
I'm so
the
sorry.
The drink that we refer to as the Irish Car Bomb, I don't think that's really a Boilermaker, mostly just because it that has to be consumed that way, and Boilermakers generally aren't with like a heavy like stout kind of thing. Even though that's a low ABV, it's usually done with a lighter
Jameson
body beer
and Guinness specifically.
Yeah,
or
Murphy's is okay.
I thought the Irish Car Bomb was Guinness. Yeah, Bailey's. You like mixed with Bailey's?
So, because the first time I ever had an Irish Car Bomb was at Cider Girl and Huck's going away party.
That's right.
Oh my God, that's right.
And I could not finish it.
Our super spreader event. Yeah,
I know. We all lived to tell the tale of that one and are better for it. But that was my very first Irish Car Bomb. And
I did not partake that night. See, that's I don't do the hard alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not like it. And of the people who got it, I think because it was Captain, me, and then Mother Pucker, and the Belgian blonde.
Yeah.
We were the four that did it, and only two of us wound up with the COVIDs from that.
It definitely wasn't because we did that.
So maybe if I finished it, it would have knocked out. Yeah, no, it was so good that COVID had to come. And honestly, we'll never forget it for the entirety of my life for so many reasons, the least of which was COVID.
I finished it, and I think I was the first one that tested positive. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun time. Yeah, I think that is one of the most inappropriately named
Yes, you do not want to go
politically incorrect named things.
Well, let's just say you don't want to go to Dublin and order that.
Death. It's about killing people. Yeah,
I have a feeling that there are like idiot Americans who will go to Dublin and go to an Irish bar and will they're all
probably
Irish bars,
like
is what I'm saying.
Worse if you go like to Belfast and
Well, I want to hear about what you guys are drinking. So, Captain, how is your beer?
It's really great. I've had this one before. I actually had to look it up on our spreadsheet because for some reason I thought we'd had this one before, but we had not.
I've had it.
I know that beer. I've definitely had that beer too. Yeah,
excellent beer. Excellent
but
beer.
Yeah, they do great stuff. It's funny. I couldn't remember which one it was, whether it was Catskill or Hudson. But it's got this sort of like nice little like nutty flavor to it. It's light bodied, but you know, very full flavored. 5.5% ABV, so yeah, very, very modest.
Perfect for a black lager.
It's a really nice beer.
Schwarz beer.
I am definitely starting to feel that shot now.
Okay, All right. So, I mean, it creeps up on you, right? Sometimes it takes a minute. Plus, it's the second pour show.
Last time I had a shot, I think it was the night we all went out to the brewery. We had Globehopper with us, I think. It was work related.
Oh yes, it was that place.
Oh yes,
18th, do they still even exist?
18th Ward, 18th Ward, yeah.
18th do they still
Ward.
Exist?
I don't remember.
And
I mean, I didn't
lady,
hear about them
the,
closing, but I have not seen their beer anywhere.
The bartendress was very insistent
that we do shots. Yeah.
And were so we doing tequila shots?
We were.
I think we were
because she wanted us to. Because it was a cultural thing that she wanted us to make sure that we partook in.
She looked me in the eye. I was like, oh, I couldn't say no. You know.
Yeah.
No, that was a fun night. Yeah. No, they're still around. Apparently, I'm seeing all sorts of their Instagram was updated as of 10 hours ago. They're doing. They're part of the new Colossus Festival, and they've got stuff happening there. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Good for them.
That was such a cool place. I'm sad that they didn't. I don't know that City Brew Tours kind of has them in rotation anymore because it was kind of far away from what they wanted to do, and they never got that like Williamsburg loop going. But
apparently they also have a location in New Rochelle.
Oh, good.
That has become so much of a trend right now. Is like the New York breweries, they just can't get enough space here, so they will go a little further upstate where they can spread out.
Right on. Yeah. And I think we had a Catskill beer on this show.
We definitely did. Yeah.
I want to say it was a Belgian style beer. I think I had it.
All right.
Doesn't matter. But I think we've had Catskill, but not the Nightshine. Not the Nightshine.
That's true. Yeah, I will. In fact, as we're talking, I will try to maintain engagement
as Catskill
in the conversation
goes,
while I'm looking.
That's
this
one
up.
Of their best beers, in my opinion. Is the
I agree
is that Nightshine. We had an idea of a beer venger getaway. Remember this idea that we were going to go?
That's right.
Oh yeah, that was connected to the brewery. Yeah,
yeah, it was right. It was on the grounds where the brewery was right there. Yeah.
That's
never did happen, but it would have been fun.
Yeah, my recollection.
I imagined it in my mind, so it was a good time.
We went to Germany instead, you know, honestly.
Yeah, Germany, yeah.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
All right, I've got this spreadsheet up. I should send you because I just updated this the other day because the super chiller. He was asking me, you haven't had Guinness. And I was sure we hadn't had Guinness, but I, that, that, oh, so, so, uh, Yes, this was episode 26 on Mother Pucker 2, A Symphony of Sour.
Oh, that was a fun one.
And you had their Freak Tractor Farmhouse Ale, which I think is what you just
Freak
said.
Freak Tractor. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yep.
Can you tell me, have we had Brooklyn Lager on the show?
Oof.
I feel like we should. I feel like it's
I would say no. I don't even know if we've had Brooklyn Brewery on the show.
I've definitely brought something because I brought their Brooklyn Pride when early on because that was their Pride Ale or their Stonewall. Okay. Stonewall. Sure. Yeah. Right. I definitely drank that one.
Okay. But, all right.
But I don't know if we've had the OG, the one that put them on the map, the one that got us all hooked. So
well, that got you hooked. Brooklyn Brown got me hooked. But
fair. Fair. I'll take that.
And I also used to like the East India Pale Ale.
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
I don't know if I threw the word East in there. That was back in the early days when we didn't have as much choice.
I know. I will say I had a...
But Brooklyn was great for us in those days, and I still think they make good beers.
So
they're just a bigger company now.
Yeah.
It pains me to say that I don't think you had the Stonewall on the show.
No, really?
Unless, I mean, if you can figure out which episode you think it was, because I'm seeing nothing between Bronx and Brewery Bastilles.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I would drink a lot of that at the height of like April and like March, April, May, June of 2020, because it was one of the few ones I could get. That was an IPA because they were having distribution issues and they just, I guess, had a lot of it. So they were just pushing it. So because it was in my grocery store all the time.
Well, I'll say welcome to the beer cast. Welcome to the Beer Avengers sphere, Brooklyn Brewery.
As it should be. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm a little surprised we haven't repped him, but it just is a testament to what the beer scene has turned into. That we were like, oh, Brooklyn Lager, pff, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I will say I've repped the glassware because I have that... what's the name of that character? It was made for Comic-Con, and then the Defender,
which we saw when we were in Belgium. The Brooklyn Defender being produced.
That's right.
It was being made at the Delirium Brewery. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Isn't that wild?
That was the wildest and craziest thing. Yeah.
I feel like I've occasionally had the Stonewall IPA at the IFC Theater to bring us back around to Picks and Pints again.
Yep.
But I also, one that I get a lot whenever I find it, because I don't see the brown much anymore of it, but there every once in a while.
I love that Brooklyn Brown. Yeah.
I see a lot of the black chocolate stout.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That is
a lot cheap now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. So I will get a six pack of that when I see it.
They used to do a four pack for. At like Whole Foods, for example, they would do a four pack for 12, 13.
Yeah, which is great.
Now you get a six
like a 10%,
pack.
Yeah.
For that same price or even less. Yeah. Actually, one of those, I had a rough night one time when I bought that four pack.
Yeah.
And I went and got, I got drunk.
Yeah.
Like one does.
With some friends. And I also was imbibing in other things. Yeah. And but my friend, shout out to Marcia, she made this wonderful food. And there was a party at her house, and I was like, I will not throw up. Even though my body wanted me to. And I was like, no, the food was too good. I did not. But I laid down in her hallway of her house while the party was going on. And honestly, it was interesting. These three of my friends were young Jewish girls, and I say that because they started to talk to each other about how wonderful it would be to get back into Judaism again and start going to temple, and like they had this big discussion between the three of them.
And while you were lying on the floor, yeah,
I'm lying in the hallway, and at some point, I just was like, "I love this conversation." From the hallway, but the whole night, I did not throw up. So, but it was those. It was those chocolate stouts. I had like three or of them, and I was smoking weed. Yeah, it was that.
They'll take it down.
This is one of the times. I feel like I remember. This is one of the times where, like you said, like a couple days later, you said, "I'm taking a break from drinking for a while."
It might have been. Might have been a little. That would have been one of the time for a break. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might happen tonight.
Who knows?
I feel good.
You might not do shots anymore. I mean, I'm glad we brought that back for you.
No, I think it's good. I feel good about it. I feel great.
I feel
confessional too when
I know.
Start to tell my horror story.
We get hard liquor in you, and everything changes.
It does. It does. And that's kind of a big reason why I don't do it.
I feel like of course, there's another little behind the scenes thing. We're recording two episodes in a night, and it's 90 degrees in New York City.
It's hot.
And because I have a condenser mic that picks up everything, I turn off my air conditioning when we record. So I feel like I'm probably buzzed, but I feel like I might actually be just sweating it all out immediately.
You're just dying from the heat.
Well, the good news is the lager will give you the electrolytes that your body needs to be successful. Isn't that why you're supposed to like,
it's got electrolytes.
Drink a beer, yes, after you run a marathon. Like that's something that they
say. It's certainly more fun than Gatorade.
Yeah. Well, you're making choices. If you need Gatorade.
It's a much better choice for electrolytes than Gatorade.
You know, when people eat the gel, like halfway through the little like jelly things, I'm always like, why? This doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this?
What
are you doing? It's just eating sugar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, it's down to 85 here in the Frez. So.
Oh, my God. Well, clearly we need down. To. Clearly the Frez is the place to be because New York City is just baking.
Yeah, but it's the same temperature. It's 83 and it's 83 in New York. It's cooler in New York than it is.
Oh, finally.
Is it down to 83? Oh, you're right. Actually, I see the bottom of my computer screen. It is 80 here, but it was 90 today.
I'm using my Weather Channel app here.
It's
frigid.
But
my phone says it's 85. Who knows? It's hot.
74 in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, then let's all go to Columbus because clearly that's where things are happening.
I'm going. I'm going to go on Tuesday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cider Girl has important research she has to do for her day job there, I'm sure.
Yes, it is a zoo conference.
Oh, very cool. Yes. Yeah, you will be gone by the time I get to Dayton a week from Friday.
Ships
passing in the night. Well, someday I'll come back to New York, I think.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe you'll grace us with your presence.
Here's sort of, I talked about this a little bit on the last show, but I've been loading up my Tavor crate, and it was funny. Mm-hmm. I started doing it. I was like, I'm going to be a little more selective about this. I'm not going to order do as many pastry stouts. And, oh, man, a lot of these are like really expensive ones, so maybe I'll not order as many. And the next thing I know, I've got 50 beers in my cart. So I'm
50?
I think that's 47 the last I was looking. I mean, some of them are doubles. Anytime it's under $10, anytime it's under $10, I'll get two.
Okay.
No, but actually, I was looking at my previous crates, and my last two crates were both like 57, and this one might exceed that. Well, you see, because I want to get that's how you get your best deal on shipping.
Okay.
Because it's $15 shipping, whether it's 5 or 50 beers.
I think if you're doing Tavor crates, you're doing it right. You're getting big stouts.
I am.
If you're a haze head, you know.
Yeah, don't do it.
That's not the way to go, I think, because you're going to get like, you know, some beers that might not be the right dates. But with those stouts, it's great.
You're basically getting someone to keep your beers temperature controlled to age them for you.
Yeah.
And then deliver them right at the peak of freshness. Honestly, it's like frozen. It's like frozen vegetables, except with beer.
And these beers are in price anywhere from like $5.99 to $24. And that one that I shared with you guys the other day, it was like a 21% strong ale. That's the $24 one.
Okay.
But like, there's a, 24, I got a really
that's,
great,
that's all right.
I got a really great one from Deschutes. It's their 35th Black Butt. Is it Black Beer? I don't know. But those are like $7.99 a bottle, which is great. But here's one fun, and I got a Murder, She Wrote beer because of, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was an oatmeal stout, but also. Belgian Babe, had to get that. But I know I had one of these on a show not long ago. I had a Big Lebowski themed beer. So I've got two separate Big Lebowski beers in here. I was telling Beer Wonder about this the other night. One of them is called, wait a minute, I got to find it.
Black Butte Porter, yeah.
But I think they're both from the same brewer. One of them is called Brother Seamus, which is some kind of like, it's referenced in the movie, and it's some sort of like code name for like a private detective.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite one is called This Is What Happens When You Find a Stranger in the Alps.
Oh, yes. And you need to explain this because that I thought was,
I told you about it. Huck, do you have any guesses as to where that title comes from?
No, not offhand.
So, this is how we earn our explicit rating. So
absolutely,
continue.
In
space. Wow, okay.
I've seen the movie a few times, but I forgot. At some point, John Goodman says to someone, you know, because he's a very heated character, very, very angry all the time, yelling shit. Yeah. And there's some point where he says, "This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass."
Ah.
So apparently in the TV edit of Big Lebowski, instead he says, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps."
The Alps. Makes sense.
Yeah. And so now that I've gone to those lengths, I guess I need to describe what that beer is. This is actually the first one I ordered. It's an Imperial Milk Stout. It was only $7.50 per can. It's from a place called New Image Brewing. It's not being very good about telling me where New Image Brewing is. I think it's Colorado. It doesn't want to give me any more information than that. But
I mean, I get
it's a 10.5% Imperial Milk Stout.
See, and it has I get the Milk Stout thing because Big Lebowski, right? Because like White Russians,
right?
And stuff like that.
Sure. Yes. Actually, yeah. That one specifically. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. It is a White Russian.
Right.
Flavor.
Yes. Mm. All I'm saying is if they wanted to make it alpine, I want more pine. If we're going to really like lean into the Alps part of this, I'm expecting more. Either way, I'm very excited to try it. I'm sure at some point it will show up at one of your stout tastings, Stoutapaloozas.
Okay, here we go. I got it. It's Arvada, Colorado is where New Image Brewing is from.
Yeah. That said, it does seem that Huck is feeling the good times and wants to keep them rolling, because do I see a second pour?
Yes. No, I was bringing out the old can, but yes, okay. I'm ready for a second pour. But I just wanted to mention Trumer Pils. Remember I said the first time I had this beer was in Austria.
Okay.
Mm. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And I looked it up online and they said, oh, we brew it in Berkeley. It's since 2004. And if you go to the brewery in Berkeley, they have exactly one beer. That is it. They don't brew anything else. It's wild, and it's good. It's popular out here because it is a good pils. It's pils, German style, even though it's Austrian.
Yeah,
but solid. Speaking of pils, Scrimshaw pils.
Oh,
Scrimshaw
pils.
Where's that from?
North Coast, our friends that make the old Rasputin.
Oh yeah, I know. I've seen that around. That's a good.
I know we've had North Coast on the show before. I think, but we haven't had the pills, I don't think. And I'm at a pills state of mind tonight. I think it's my third pills of the night.
Look at you. Well, it is a two pour show. So
yeah, I can do the full pour here.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you got it going high. That's an aggressive head on that one. But you know, here's the thing. If you're going to commit.
It's aggressive pour.
Right. If you're going to commit to the pint, you got to have an aggressive pour. I mean, none of us will ever live up to the Super Chiller's pouring abilities, but you know he does.
He
it
was
for a
good
living.
With that. Well, he knew what was in the glass. I managed to make it happen here.
Yeah, you done good, Huck. You know, I'm proud of you.
It's beautiful,
Scrimshaw, and it's a good. It is a good pils. I've had it. It's a low ABV. I'm not sure what most of the ones I've had today have been about 4.9. The Trumer, the one we had last week, and this one. Around that same thing, 4.9. Oh, it's pretty though in the big glass.
It is. It's a real pretty beer.
If you're gonna put a beer in a stein, you got to make it a German style pils.
Yeah, it has to look good. We're
and
here
this is
for the
a
fashion.
Koenig. Oh, you know what they do? The Germans put it on this side of the.
Oh yeah, on the glass. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Koenig. I don't even know what that says. Anyway, cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You know, a little bit of trivia here. This is only the second North Coast beer we've ever had on the show.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure you can guess what the only other one is.
Was the old Rasputin?
Yeah, of course it was.
Did you have it?
I did.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I did it. And that was when I remember my pandemic beard.
Yes.
And so I was actually kind of looking a little like Rasputin at the time.
Ah,
it was appropriate
in the moment.
Beer imitates life. Is that what we're
and
doing?
At one point, I think I put a thing on one of our social things where like I posed with the can trying to imitate the pose of Rasputin on the can.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and we'd I love Old Rasputin. It's still a very good beer, even though it's
one of my favorites of all time.
And we're doing old breweries tonight. Like I said, Trumer is an old school one, but yeah. Even in Berkeley, they started in 2004. And Scrimshaw, what is it? North Coast started in 1998. And what you know what I've had is the Prankster, which is a Belgian style ale, but didn't have it on the show. They have a Red Seal beer, which is red ale.
Oh, nice.
Pretty easy to get those. They're in, like, when I go to my beer place, the market. And they have the single cans, and then they also have like six pack section, and like a lot of the North Coast is in the six pack section. You know, it's just cheaper and easier to get. But a solid brewery, solid pills. I'll turn to the Scrimshaw as a go to out here.
Love it.
Well, since we're doing second pours, I guess it's about time for me to have a
sponsored pour.
No way!
I am. I'm gonna do it.
Someone had to.
This is gonna help a mission. The provider is on a mission right now because they still have like all of the Collective Arts Origin of Darkness. Wait a minute. Yes, Origin of Darkness. See, okay, I guess the whiskey is kicking in a little bit. I guess I haven't sweated it all out. They have all of the 2022 there, and she wants us to eventually have all of them on the show. We had one a few weeks ago from Dudge something. Is Dudge? I don't know. DYGGES something, because that's the deal. All the Origin of Darkness beers, Collective Arts is the primary brewer, and they do collaborations with four different breweries every year. And I'll look up that other one, or you guys can look it up wherever. But this is the one they did with Burial Brewery.
This is a
Madeira whiskey barrel-aged imperial stout with pecans and coffee.
Oh, my.
Oh,
and
dear.
Let me see here. This is a... It's a modest 10.7%.
Oh boy,
here we go.
Just because we did not say it, I do want to mention that the sponsor that we are drinking from is, of course, the Beer and Cheese Collective.
Oh, of course, yes, the Beer and Cheese Collective, 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard.
I don't know if you even mentioned that last week.
I
feel like we did. We may not have said the address, but I know we mentioned the name.
The dash.
Oh, the clarity of that can right now is really shining. It's a good lighting on that.
It's a real thin head going. I know.
It's coming to life at the end.
Well, at a 10%, you expect a little bit.
I like the color on the can. You got this like the cinnamon head color matches the color of the actual head of the beer.
Mm. Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. Oh, that's it's got a little bit of that sweetness to it. They're like a pecan pie or something. It's great.
Oh, you're getting the pecans in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And speaking of which, look at the Beer Wonder. He's putting that whiskey beer down pretty good.
We're going slow. We're savoring the moment. We're enjoying the beer, and also because it's been honestly, I got a confession to make.
Okay.
This summer was not a great beer summer for the Beer Wonder. I just didn't hit as much beer as I would have liked to. And I'll be honest, on Labor Day after a long summer in my Clark Kent job, the captain and I met up.
And we did. I had to get you sponsored pours.
I know. And after not like having a lot of beers this summer, I had five in one night. And it was spectacular. And I was reminded of why I love brewery culture. But I wanted to give a moment to shout out some of the places that we went. Captain?
Well, yeah, we started out at Alewife. I wasn't even sure if this was because we were talking about, you know, some place we could go because we both worked on Labor Day.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to make you come out too far. And at one point you suggested the Pony Bar, and that was that felt like we should go back there again soon because it's, you know, it is where this journey all started.
Exactly.
Man, I was trying to figure out which was closer, and I picked something close to me, but I figured it was also since it's close enough to where I thought this would be a good place, so I said Alewife, and you said, "Yeah, let's do that." Fortunately, we were able to get a ride there from
Lightning,
the voice of the sponsored pour. Yeah,
yep.
So we went there, and because Monday is happy hour all day at Alewife. Yep. This is actually pretty amazing. They're not a sponsor, but we love them, and every draft beer made by Alewife They say this is a good thing. Sometimes they have some guest pours. But every one of them is $5.
Which is wild. I remember when Huck was the...
Oh, fuck yeah, my dude.
Yeah, yes. There we go. We got it live again.
Yeah, I know. But I remember when Huck was like in a search in Gotham for the $4 beer, which does not exist anymore. But the fact that you can get $5 beers from a excellent Queens-based brewery on Mondays, that's like, why are people not flocking to them? I mean, it was busy-ish. It was Labor Day too, so who knows? But like, people were there, which was great.
And I don't know if you remember the original Alewife. We actually talked about it a bit the other night. It was out in Long Island City because this one's in Sunnyside. Right. But the original Alewife, which is partners with Fool's Gold and the Jeffrey, and there's another one. But they would they're happy hour. They would
the other
do
one
was,
up on the East Side closed.
Yeah. Oh, they did. Oh, sorry to hear that. But they would do a deal where they would have the menu. And it would be just whatever beers had an asterisk, and that would be their daily happy hour, like anything that had an asterisk. And it's weird, they're using like it's the same format, the same print, and like sort of like, and I was looking at the menu and I'm thinking, well, I don't see any asterisks. Are these really all $5 tonight? And I asked the bartender. She said, yes, all Alewife drafts are $5 on and Monday happy hour all day. So it was pretty great.
That is great.
Well, and the weird thing is I was doing my version of pacing myself because I started out with their Serna Dark Lager. I did get one high ABV beer there. It was one of their, they've got a couple of Imperial Stouts. They've had that all summer. It's been so great. Yeah. Like Alewife is one of the places where I know I can go and I know it's not going to be like all IPAs. They have great IPAs there, but
I had a few of, and they were delightful.
I'm sure I talked about this a few episodes ago, but there was one evening when Belgian Babe and I went there, and I was like, there are so many dark beers here in the middle of summer. I have to get a flight because I can't decide. But then after we were there, we went over to, I really wanted to go visit Sweet Avenue. You may remember that Jared Leary, did we give him a name? I don't remember.
I don't think we ever got to naming with him.
That's something we're terribly inconsistent about, but sometimes when we have like people who are hardcore industry professionals, they want their name out there.
Yeah, they want their name out there.
So we're less strict about naming, naming them. But any case though, they're just about to celebrate, or actually by the time you hear this, they probably just celebrated their second anniversary.
It's wild that they've only been there for 2 years. Because I think of them as a standard bearer in some ways, you know?
And they had this great barrel-aged Finback Imperial Stout that I was like, oh, that name sounds kind of familiar to me. And so I looked it up on my Untappd profile, and I realized this is the newest version of this one. It's called Grazing on the Ordinary. And I said, I've had that before. And I looked it up on Untappd, and I think it might have been, it was one of the very first beers they ever had on tap. So I can't say this for certain, but it was probably the first beer I ever had there. So it seemed like a wonderful way to celebrate them being in existence for 2 years by having that same beer again.
Well, and they are doing another quest program, which is very exciting in same way that Pony does the 100 beers for your shirt. They are doing 100 beers for a glass mug that lights up and is very beautiful. So Captain and I
with
have
your name on it.
I know, it's very cool. So Captain and I have started our quest at Sweet Avenue. So,
and since we had so much fun at Alewife, I only had two there. They do it, and this is also reminiscent of the Pony days.
Oh yeah,
they just have this big giant binder they keep behind the bar in alphabetical order. And you have to, you know, page through it to find your name. And then you can, like, write in the beer you had. And so far, they're still doing it with a binder. Who knows? If it takes off, they may have to go something more digital. But Jared seems to really like doing this, sort of like the old school analog. No, you take out the big book and you write your name in the big book.
Yeah. Nice. Huck, what have you been up to? What is happening on the West Coast, Best Coast?
Speaking of Finback, just last night.
What?
Tuesday's my night, so we're recording this on a Wednesday, and a Tuesday is usually my night in the tower. Mm. I like to go and do stand-up and then get fucked up. Is that appropriate?
No, that keeps us explicit, so do it.
First, I do the stand-up.
Okay.
Clean.
Okay.
I keep myself, well, I had two beers already, but.
So you're they emotionally. They were
like Pilsner beers, maybe. You're
emotionally prepared.
Well, no, because I had this beer last night from Finback Brewing out of Queens. I don't know if you heard of them.
No.
I know we just talked about it. There was a collaboration with Jay Wakefield out of Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's an IPA called Smooth Beats Miami. And I saw it on the board.
That's awesome.
Normally I don't get hazies, but I was like, I got to do it. I got to have it.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Nice.
Really, the coconut flavor was there, but not overpowering. And it was really smooth drinking. It's an IPA brew with coconut and dry hopped with Equinox, Eldorado, and Zythos.
Ooh, fun.
Hops. So Zythos or Zethos?
I trust you.
Is it with a Y?
Different hops. But obviously, with a Y.
Okay.
Finback, they got it going on.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy that I go to this bar called Spokeasy. We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have so many New York beers. I had the Evil Twin Wheat Lager. Did I mention that on the show?
No.
It was a lager made completely with wheat rather than barley.
Sure, yeah.
It's one of the greenhouse beers. I don't know if you know that mm-hmm. series of beers they make.
Yep.
And I was reluctant, but I'm like, well, you know, it's because I don't like wheat beers as much. They're okay, but
fine.
You know, I'm not big on it, but this lager was excellent. I was really like, wow, this is really good. So last night I had this, and then I went and got, and then I continued my New York beers because I had another beer in a can from Duchess. Zythos.
I just found that on, I'll try it a little bit more time.
Zythos. Thank you.
Zythos. Yeah. Okay.
According to how to pronounce. That's.
Had it right the first time. So I got this. I got a Fest beer last night because it's Fest beer season. And this was from Duchess Ales. And it was a collab with Freitgeist Beer Culture, which I'm not sure if is actual a German thing. But it was a nice Fest beer. Very, very malty. Had a sweetness to it. It was good. It was very good. I had that in the theater. Then I went to my place, Goldstein's,
mm-hmm.
and I had a black lager, delicious black lager from Faction Brewing.
Oh. Ooh,
excellent black lager. Then I had an STS from Russian River, which is kind of my go-to. You know, it's a Pilsner, but like excellent hoppy Pilsner. And then I'm on a 5-beer diet now when I go out. So number 5, I went over to Strummer's and I had an IPA. I don't remember what it was, though.
I guess because it was the 5th one, yeah. The further you get in the evening, the harder it is to
But it was a fun night in the tower. I do enjoy my tower nights. I've mentioned the tower before, but it's an area in Fresno where it's sort of like cool bar. It's kind of a village, East Village kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love my tower, but it's good beers. And I went to South of Shaw Brewing, which is downtown.
Okay.
And downtown in Fresno is kind of like this area where nothing is going on.
Sure.
Unless there's a baseball game or a concert or something, you know. Went to South of Shaw. Great pizza there. Amazing pizza, which is great as a New Yorker to be able to find good pizza out here.
Yeah, very important.
And really good beer. And I had a couple of their beers. And that was on a, I think that was on a Wednesday. I see. Wait a minute. Al has had this. Al, what's his name?
Oh, the inspector?
Frank. Yeah, the inspector. Does he have a funny name like Frank or?
Yes, Craft Beer Frank.
Craft Beer Frank. He's had the Smooth Miami, I just noticed. But God Save the King is what I had. A brown ale at South of Shaw. And now that I see it, it's only 3.9%. So I think probably shouldn't have got that.
Well, it seemed to work well with your 5-beer plan when you didn't really necessarily remember the 5th beer. So I think
what was that beer? Oh, I'm gonna figure it out. It was a good night. Good night.
I don't remember a whole lot about how my evening ended last night either. It actually there wasn't a whole lot of beer involved because I went with the Mad Toucan Super Chiller to our annual company party because we worked together for the same company. And it's an open bar, and I always get in trouble at open bars. It's just because I don't remember a whole lot of the end of the evening. I think I lost my tie somewhere along the way. I think it was mostly because it was 90 degrees and I was on the subway and I was sweaty and probably I just found out when I got home, like, where's my tie? That was not with a whole lot of beer. That was mostly Manhattans.
Oh.
Oh, and hello. A couple of old fashioned, I think, at some point. Anyway, it's all a blur.
Well, then you've done it correctly. It sounds like.
I think you're right. I think that's you know, I at this point, I one of the things you were telling me when we were hanging out at Alewife and the Sweet Avenue the other night was how much Globehopper likes our second pour. So I think
that's true.
I think I want to give a shout out to him because I think he's really going to enjoy this episode. Because technically, you know, this is like we're recording two episodes in an evening, and so Huck and I are on our third pours plus the whiskey. So hopefully, this is scratching that itch.
But unlike the captain, I've been doing very low ABV beers.
Well, this is my only high ABV beer I've had all night.
The Timber Ales was low.
Yeah, it was like a 5.9 or something. Like the writing on the can is so small. All
right, so you're doing the same thing I am. You're keeping it because of the whiskey they're throwing.
But I figured if I'm gonna if it's the last one of the night, I can go a little higher up and go a little 11% thing there. I did remember there was something. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say. Well, in current events, I did want to just touch on because there's a lot happening that our friends at Anchor. You know, we all talked about how Anchor is closing, but the union of Anchor employees has actually been fundraising, and they recently hit their goal of $50,000 to try and buy the brewery. Now, there's a lot more that's going to go into it from that, but I just thought it was fun to see a union of employees trying to take over an iconic brewery like Anchor. And I know that union organizing is something that is happening a lot, and many of the people in our sphere are part of unions that are currently on strike.
Yes, in fact, aren't we all members of that union?
I am not.
For some reason I thought you were. Weren't you eligible and you were considering it?
Yeah, but
there was some movie you were in,
I could have joined, but it didn't make sense. I can join any time. I just didn't really work in film as much when I was doing the thing. So
got it.
But again, supportive.
It is expensive to join.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you've been hearing us mention, you're hearing me mention on the beginning of every single episode since the strike started. It's been going on for a while, and I was. Here's the funny thing. I mentioned this on a couple episodes ago. I was hoping to go out for the Labor Day parade, and I wanted to march, give you a free T-shirt, which is really great.
That's
part of the strike fund is there. But then I found out that the Labor Day parade for the unions was 5 days after Labor Day.
Oh, that's.
And I was already scheduled to work, so I won't be able to do that. But I'm still with all of them in spirit. There seems to be no end in sight. Yeah. Mostly because the producers want to starve out the writers and the actors. They just want to like one of them even said at one point, "We'll just wait till they start losing their houses."
Ugh.
Bad situation.
It's like you can't even exaggerate how terrible these people are. It's just like, no, there's no satire here. They are just really the worst.
And I honestly don't think they care about making movies or TV.
Apparently no, they just care not. About keeping. Yeah. They just care about keeping all the money.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll just move on to some other business.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm like. They don't care about the actual product.
Yeah. Yeah.
The quality of the work that's being done is not of interest.
It's, it might lead to a shift back to live theater as being a more of a main source of entertainment.
I mean, it might be. We will see. It's interesting. I'm on the verge of the unions are telling us not to do this because somehow it plays into their hands. I don't quite get this logic, but I'm on the verge of like canceling most of my streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
I feel
well,
like
mostly as a customer, it's like, well, what am I
going to watch? Yeah.
There's that too. Yeah. There's absolutely that. And also like, it's because there's no new content. I'm starting to realize how much of what is on the streaming services is just unwatchable crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're only,
yeah.
There's a lot of it.
So like I mentioned this to you guys. I think I mentioned it on the show. I do this with the Criterion channel that they have just such much better curation that if I like for a year watch nothing but the Criterion channel, I would probably just watch lots of great stuff. Mm. And in fact, after we saw Oppenheimer, they had a mm-hmm. documentary from 1980 called The Day After Trinity. That I watched immediately. Anyway, so this is a little off the whole thing, but anyway, support your union friends and the people who are.
We're gonna have to make a 20-minute cut out of this. So.
Yeah, whether they are beer union or performing arts union or any sort of union, clearly the Beer Vengeance are pro union. We are a union of beer drinkers.
Well, I just learned the other night that a brewery up in Vermont, Switchback, which I didn't realize.
Uh-huh.
Is completely employee owned.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah. And so all their employees have a stake in the company. Mm-hmm. And so that's fantastic. I mean, I wish more places would do that.
I know Fair State in Minnesota has a little bit going on. By the way, you were there recently too, weren't you?
I was. I went to the Minnesota State Fair, which of course they are named after.
Tell us about that.
Well, so it was the first time I'd ever been to the Minnesota State Fair as someone who could legally drink. It was also... 98 degrees.
Oh my.
We were drinking as much liquid as we possibly could. And I then realized why everything is deep fried, because when you drink beer, you want deep fried foods. And thus there is a 1-to-1 ratio and everything is great. But it was really fun to be back there, you know, childhood nostalgia and all that stuff. And of course,
cookies.
Did have the Sweet Martha's cookies and the Tom Thumb donuts and the roasted corn
and the Juicy Lucy's
and the we passed by Matt's Bar, which is where the Juicy Lucy is located, but I did not swing in. Went to George Floyd Square, which was important, but also like played mini golf on the top of the Walker Arts Center. So lots of good stuff happened. But I did also want to shout out that of course I saw Triple Always a Triple, you know, because like. We're related. But I also finally got to meet the Puppers, who is named for our trip, Trippel, who is scared of everything.
That's what you millennials call dogs, right?
Yes.
Puppers. All right.
Puppers. Sure. Puppers.
You millennials.
It's a good
you
pupper.
Millennials, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's better than Doggo, maybe. I don't know.
Yes. I prefer Pupper to Doggo, yes. But he is very afraid, especially of men. But by the end of my time there, I had him sitting next to me coming up for pets and treats. So I feel like I have done my job, and we have a new Beer Venger pup to add to our crew, which is mm-hmm. important because, nice. You know, I know Huck, you guys have got one that you're taking good care of. But I feel like we all need sidekicks, and those of the four-legged variety tend to be good ones.
You know, it's funny, on the last episode, I occasionally heard barks and I couldn't tell if it was coming from Huck's apartment or the super chiller, because the super chiller has a tiny little dog named Calliope.
Ah,
that's a good, name. Good
dog. Who actually
I did hear barking here. It wasn't too much.
The last time I was at the Quad Bar, his partner, who we referred to regularly, Elena, actually brought Calliope into the bar, and she's a little jittery. And my favorite thing was every time she would hit one of those high pitched barks, and I would see Super Chilla just sort of cringe every time she did it, and I'm like, wow. Apparently that's the story that's not getting progressively less interesting, but apparently she was doing it more because she was out and she's a little more chill at home, and that's why it was bothering him so much.
Sure.
But speaking of bars, I do. This is kind of a huck up from two episodes ago that I did want to talk about.
Please.
No, because we were talking, speaking of 20-minute cuts, we didn't have one in that episode, but maybe we did. But before we were talking about that, we were talking about a film where Huck played a Jewish doctor, and it was all revolving
Dr.
around
Pern.
A place called the 169 Bar. And I made a reference to, because I think you just called it a dive bar when you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I said something about the idea of that. I love the idea of a sort of a shady doctor, presiding over weddings at a shitty bar. And 169 is not a shitty bar. And when I was editing and I heard myself say that, I couldn't find a clean edit to take it out, because I certainly was not. I was more imagining the scenario, and I wasn't saying 169 bar is a shitty bar. And I actually looked some of the stuff up, and I'm looking forward to going there. But they do not appear to be a shitty bar.
Lovely
in any
place.
Regard. So
lovely people.
Yeah, but it's divey and it's wonderfully.
It's a
divey.
Dive bar. It's wonderfully like a proud divey. Dive bar.
Yeah. But it is definitely not shitty.
Yeah.
No.
And I regret saying that. Because I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. But, you know, but again, we were drinking high ABV beers that night. So, and that's when it said it was a good end to note it on.
Good for
Shortly
you.
Thereafter.
Yes. Well, gentlemen, I think we may have hit a good end to note it on in our time together. Unless we...
well said.
Unless we have any other important beer venging business to discuss. Besides that people shouldn't be shitty to their bartenders. And they should support striking union workers, and also support union workers in general, and reach out to us with complaints about our Boilermakers on all the socials.
What do we have upcoming in the Beer Vengerverse?
Well, I mean, apparently you and I both have trips to Ohio.
which
is actually, I think, where I'll be editing this episode.
It's going to be a nice a brewery tour, you know, a crawl. I've already got it planned it out. There's a Jackie O spot and a couple
I've never been to Jackie O's. Aren't they in Athens?
Yeah, but they have some sort of tap room in Columbus.
There's another one. I had a beer from them. It was called the Dire Wolf. Funny thing is, Ohio is such a great beer state that if you're in Dayton or Cincinnati or Columbus, you don't necessarily have a lot of beers from other places, just because just every one of those cities has their own like intense scene. I mean, Ohio is only an hour from Cincinnati, but I don't have many. I mean, from Dayton is only an hour from Cincinnati. When I'm in Dayton, it seems like that I rarely have a lot of Cincinnati beers because there's so many great Dayton breweries.
I gotcha.
But
a couple here, the Holy Trinity Brewing, Wolf's Ridge.
Wolf's Ridge. That's the one.
Oh,
Wolf's Ridge is the one, the Dire Wolf one. Yeah.
They're all right near each other, so I'm hoping to do a little.
You probably won't get this far from there. You probably won't get this far from Columbus proper, but if you were to, there's a place not far from Columbus, which is this giant BrewDog facility. That is sort of the heart of BrewDog's American thing is near Columbus. Yeah, yeah. So I would recommend that.
Well, and I do want to remind people that as we are now in the fall, many of your local breweries will be doing their Oktoberfest adventures. And that is always something to remember. I know our friends at Strong Rope have one coming up. And many of our favorite breweries here in Gotham are definitely doing their thing. So
yeah, Fresno as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So get yourself a pretzel and a stein of beer. And, you know, gentlemen, we're coming up on a year of our German adventure together.
Yeah.
So we may need to do an Oktoberfest episode to really just mark the good work that is happening in Germany.
We need another Beer Vengers beer venture.
That's true. Yes. Well, there may be things in the works that Huck does not even know about that perhaps we'll talk about offline.
Yes, wow. and then share it with you online later. Because like you know suspense and shit.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess I'll.
We told you at the top. This is weird because Beer Wonder had me list all our connects at the beginning of the thing. But, you know, it's at the Beer Vengers, at the places, at the things, all the social things, and the Beer Vengers at Slippity Slidey and whatever and all that.
But most importantly, come back anytime.
Come back anytime. Any of you, all of you, please keep coming back. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tell them to write us whatever you like. But please, no death threats.
Yeah, more letters. Yeah, we don't need death threats.
Yeah, snail mail. Letters, you can just stalk us, and if you it's, I don't know, if the Jehovah's Witnesses can find my home address, you can too.
God.
On that note,
all right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Huck, play us out.
Oh, we love beer, Avengers, beer, Avengers, beer. We're the Beer Avengers.
Yes, we are.
Duh.